What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny's Conjuring Cinematic Universe in Review, aka Cuckoo in Review. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by, normally I introduce him as Big Ol' Bathsheba himself, Greg Miller, but today, who do we have? Great. We have Greg Miller in full The Nun.
I'm Valak, baby!
It's Valak,
I'm Valak! It's spooky season and I'm here!
If you are an audio listener, please go check out the video version just to see the monstrosity that is sitting next to me. But joining us as well, from Los Angeles, California, it's James and Elise Willems.
You know, Valak, he says he's the king of Halloween, and I believe him.
Thank you very much. That means
a lot. The lengths he's going to here, I believe it.
Okay, all right. Well, I think you're just throwing fuel in the fire. Thank you for having us. We're excited.
It's good to have you back. It's been quite a while. You know, we did Scream earlier in the year with you guys, but before that, it's over a year since we got a entry in the cuckoo.
The cuckoo.
You know, and it's weird because right now we're at a point where there is not many like confirmed projects going forward. There was a while where there was like it was spinoff central, but now that we're through The Nun 2, we have a fourth Conjuring coming up, Last Rites. But
great name.
We'll see whenever it actually happens, given all the strikes and everything.
Sure,
but that's the only Conjuring universe movie that's even in development at all, because the Crooked Man spinoff got canceled.
Ah,
so
would love to see what he was up to.
What's he got going on? Is the Penny guy? Are they the same guy? They were different guys. The guy with the penny eyes?
I don't know.
Different guy.
I hope Penny guy
gets his spinoff at some point. But anyways, that's not what we're talking about today. Of course, this is Kinda Funny's In Review, where each and every week we get together to rank, review, and recap different movie franchises. Chances are, if there's a franchise out there that you love or hate, we have talked about it on this show. So you can go back and check it out on youtube.com/kindafunny or roosterteeth.com in video form. But if you're looking for the podcast, search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny In Review, and we'll be right there for you. If you wanted to go above and beyond, though, you could watch live as we record them by going to patreon.com/kindafunny. You get the shows ad-free, you get a whole bunch of bonus content, and you get to be a Patreon producer like Jedi Master Deadpool, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, Logan Delaney, Nathan Lamothe, and Patrick Delgado. Thank you all so very, very much. We're doing a lot of cool stuff right now in review. We're in the middle of Saw in review. Saw 1 and 2 out now. Next week, we'll return with Saw 3, going straight all the way to the end. Saw 10's coming to theaters in late September, but we're actually going to review it closer to Halloween. So everybody get excited. All the original Saw movies are on Amazon Prime, so you can watch there to keep up with us. Joey and Nick are watching for the very first time. It's great hearing their thoughts on it all. We got a good one ahead of us.
Trailers before my screening of The Nun 2. Mm-hmm. Saw 10?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. We're murdering people on Thanksgiving.
Y'all see this Thanksgiving trailer?
No. We missed some of the trailers, but we had The Exorcist, Believer.
Yeah. Then I had Exorcist, Believer, and then I had The Color Purple.
We had The Color Purple.
So did we. It was a curveball, but I'm kind of into it.
I mean, I like The Color Purple. I'm just like, that was how we ended this one. That's where we tossed that one in.
The Thanksgiving one caught me off guard. Are you guys familiar with Thanksgiving? As a concept.
Is it a horror movie?
Is it that trailer that went in the
Grindhouse? It's very similar.
It's a horror movie that takes place on Thanksgiving. And you're like,
slasher flick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just having dinner with your family.
That's a nightmare enough. Yeah.
Exactly.
Speaking to the Saw in review, do we think Nick's going to go the extra mile like Greg went to? Are we going to see Nick as the little on the bicycle?
Well, keep in mind, for Nick, that would be a normal size bike.
Kevin, would it be possible to play the Saw in review intro to show them? If not, it's okay. You can let me.
And if you need time, you can take it.
Yeah, it will be possible. Just going to go silent for a second because I just need to find it.
Okay, do you think? Let me know when you're ready.
I see what you're saying. Like, yeah, all right, cool. Give me 2 seconds. They can't see you, but no one else is seeing.
That's fine. Everybody's fine. Everybody's fine.
It should be on your desktop.
There. We're ready.
All right, cool. Check this out.
Do you have folder structures, James?
Little guy. guys always looked like Nick, so I'm glad we finally made it canonical.
Yeah, we're all just like, oh yeah, that's what it is.
Nick.
Yeah, the people keep looking at that, oh, it's Nick. It's not. That's just a screenshot from the movie. Yeah, so, man. You know, it is what it is. But yeah, no, Saw's been going great for everybody involved. But we're not talking about Saw today. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays and DraftKings Sportsbook, but I'll talk about that later. We're talking about The Nun 2 with a runtime of 1 hour and 50 minutes. You know, I could have went shorter on it, but I'm not going to be mad. Not going to be mad because some of these would be crossing that 2 hour mark and that would be unnecessary. It was released on September 8th, 2023, which makes it the 9th movie in the Conjuring universe. It was directed by Michael Chavez, who's an American film director known for 2 movies, now 3. In The Cuckoo, The Curse of La Llorona, which is
La Llorona.
Number 7 on our list currently ranking, and Conjuring Devil Made Me Do It, Conjuring 3, which is number 4 on our list. Where will The Nun 2 rank? We'll have to wait and see.
None too pleased.
Music by Marco Beltrami, who also has done music, of course, for Scream and A Quiet Place, among a whole bunch of other stuff. This one had a budget of $40 million. We don't know the box office yet, but The Nun 1 kind of crushed, so expectations are pretty high.
How could you not go see this?
How could you not? How could you not? Valak, of course. Let's get into our thoughts on this movie. Elise, I want to start with you. What did you think of The Nun 2?
I didn't think it was that great. I thought it maybe was better than the first one, maybe more memorable than the first one, and had a better climax. There were things that I thought were very effective and that I liked. And is it Taisa Farmiga? Taisha? I always enjoy her, so I thought she was great in it. I like that they gave her a sidekick. I went into this having not seen the trailer, so I didn't realize it was a direct sequel, that we would be kind of like exploring the same story and characters, which kind of props too, because it would have been really easy just to be like, we're sending her on a different case. But overall, like you said, Tim, could have been 30 minutes shorter. And I was watching it and I was editing it in my mind. There would be a scene where like it starts with her praying. And I was like, could have started this while she's walking down the hallway here. Like it's beautiful, visually very, very cinematic and impressive. But the first half was real slow in places. And once things kind of picked up in the second half, I was a bit more into it. I don't want to say more right now because I don't want to spoil anything, but there are other things that I liked, disliked, but we'll get to them when we're in spoiler territory.
Just so you know, we're now in full spoiler territory, so you're allowed to say whatever you want.
We are right now?
Yes, yes, we are now.
Love Goatman.
Yeah!
Give him a movie!
Yeah! Probably not for the right reasons. I love that they were like, okay, we have to have some kind of... there's got to be another monster introduced because this is the precedent we've set for ourselves now. What's kind of tangential, canonically Catholic to a nun? Well, we need some kind of goat imagery because that invokes the devil. I loved the effect of the newspaper stand. Incredible. All those pages flipping open. I thought that was so cool. One of the coolest things maybe in The Cuckoo. A lot of this is jump scares. A lot of it is let's build tension and then just pay it off with a screech. And after they do that maybe 3 times, I'm kind of like, oh, I'm over this. I wanted those mean little girls to get what was coming to them so bad.
Yeah.
I think that the piercing should have been a mortal wound, if I'm leveling with you here. I thought the little ghost boy was creepy until they kind of showed him in his make. Like when he was just in the shadows, I was like, all right, let's do it. And they kind of showed him. And I was like, that looks like what Greg looks like right now. But.
Oh, God.
Yes. So I'm sure more thoughts will come out as we're continuing to talk about it. But not my favorite in The Cuckoo. But I didn't hate it. You know?
James, what about you?
I mean, I feel similar to Elise. I think some of the issue, I thought this movie actually was maybe better directed than the first Nun. I think it has things that are better than the first Nun because like we were all kind of in agreement that the Nun felt like it had some good scares, but it felt cheesy. It felt like also tonally like a different movie from the rest of the things in this Conjuring universe. And I feel like this one did a better job bringing it back into all the tone that we enjoy, but it feels like it's marred down by the fact that, like, the origin of the nun, everything that you find out about this character is less interesting than how it looks.
So we're talking about this in comparison to Freddy Krueger, because Freddy Krueger has a very interesting layered origin story, whereas the Nun, I don't even remember what.
Well, it's just like there's a demon and it's in a monastery and it becomes the scariest thing that the nuns can imagine, another nun. But they keep saying that, but it's only a nun to everybody. It's just, it's a terrifying image. And when they put it in the background in a shot, it's always scary. When it's in the painting, it's always scary. When it's looming there, even at the climax, which I'm really excited to discuss with you guys, it's terrifying imagery. But then it feels like they're like, but we don't really know what to do with it other than that.
They're like, send in Goatman.
So they're like, send in Goatman, you know? And so they do stuff like that. And also I agree with what it sounds like Elise and Tim, that I was like honestly drifting off. There's a point in the middle where I was like, I don't fall asleep during movies. And I was like, all right, I got to get some water because you're losing me. I'm falling asleep. There's too much preamble leading up to scares and stuff like that. So I am curious. I want to hear what everyone says because I think it'll probably influence where I want to put this in the whole list. I'm really excited to hear from everybody. But yeah, a lot of mixed feelings. They got a lot of mileage out of that one hallway, though. That one hallway, there's so much.
Definitely.
So,
Greg Miller.
Well, you know, I'm not much of a fan.
Yes,
I'm dressed like this. You know, I echo a lot of what everybody's saying, but I think I go more positive than it sounds like the Willems did. I didn't watch the trailers either. If you remember, like 3 weeks ago, I got like served the Google ad of it. I'm like, Tim, there's another nun coming out. We're going back to the cuckoo. Great. So coming in, sitting down, I was very much like, all right, cool. All right. It's that lady. Oh, yeah, she's related to the real lady from the real Conjuring in real life, not in this thing. Or is it in this thing? Okay, blah, blah, blah. Do, 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 do. And then when she's like, and his name's Frenchie, I was like, oh, shit, I'm supposed to know who this man is. I was like, oh, and then he gave me the train scene, and I was like, okay. Oh, yeah. And then I sat there, and I was like, I legitimately cannot tell you anything about the Nun 1. Like, I do not remember anything,
Greg,
about the Nun 1.
Were you really thankful? Were you also thankful at the scene when the nuns were gossiping and one of them was telling them the story of the events of the first one? Because I was like, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but and then she was listening in and I was like, all right, cool. Is this what killed her mom? And then I was like, wait, no. And then I'm like, was that her? Was that? And then they double back. I'm like, okay, yeah, that was.
I think that was on purpose. I think they were trying to play with you there. Of like,
well, sure, but I mean, I just, the fact that I don't remember Carthage or what, St. Catherine or St. Carthage, whatever the fuck it was, we did it in review for it, right?
Oh, yeah,
I recapped
yeah.
the plot. Yeah. I have nothing. There's nothing. Yeah. Like, it's just whoosh, whoosh. I got nothing for you. I don't know what's going on. So, all that said, I enjoyed myself with the movie. You know what I mean? I love a horror movie. I'm a sucker for him, period. So, I enjoyed the scares. I enjoyed the goat man. I enjoyed the kids. I agree.
Yeah.
The one kid should have died. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I was along for the ride. Yeah, it's got editing problems. Like, and I'm not that guy. But there was one point where I'm eating the popcorn, and it was Frenchie talking to the teacher's daughter, and the scene ended. And I was like, legitimately, I was like, what information did they just give me? Like, I'm like, I don't think this is a me problem. I think that they just did a scene, I guess, to show that they're close, but they spent 5 minutes here, and I have nothing of value from it. Like, I got it. You showed me that they were friends with the bracelet and all the stuff. I didn't need this weird heart to heart that didn't involve the nun or their relationship or the mother. Or I'm like, that was a weird thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed with it. I mean, like, where do we put the Nun 1 on the list right now?
Kev, if you could bring up the rankings on that.
I know we're not ranking yet,
yeah,
everybody.
Just
bees
so everyone
bonnet,
can see this.
Bonnet.
Yeah, Kev, yeah. Actually, you can just leave these up because I feel like we might be referencing it a lot throughout this episode.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so.
Okay.
I feel like I will remember it more fondly than the Nun, which I completely forgot. So, but we'll get to that part of it later. I had fun last night. I don't regret going to the movies. I don't think this is a rush out and see it, but as a kickoff kind of to horror movies for spooky season, I had a good time.
Yeah, it's so funny for me. Like, this is continuing the trend of me being so opposite of you guys when it comes to almost any of these movies. I don't think this is the best thing ever by a long shot, but I do think this movie kind of fucking rocks. Like, it is, it's a little longer than I want it to be, but I actually think the editing is really good. It's just there are parts of it that I feel like we could have cut entirely, but it's more just like the way that the events are edited themselves in this film, I think is like up there in the franchise. And I think that this is, for me, firmly in the top half of the good in the cuckoo, as opposed to some of the others that are firmly like, I actually really don't like these. And I think overall, this franchise isn't that great. I think that there's a...
We've had more misses than hits.
Way, 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 way more misses than hits. And that kind of upsets me, where it's like, I, you know, the first couple of my or Conjuring Annabelle and Conjuring 2, to me, I kind of put in one category, and then 3 through 8 in another. I put this one up in that fourth spot personally, because I feel like what this movie did that I didn't expect was turn into a superhero movie, and it turned the Farmiga sister into this, like, she's powering up, she's getting the eyes, and she's out there and she uses the blood of Christ, turning all of the wine into the blood of Christ. I'm like, this is hype as fuck. The music was kicking as if it was a superhero movie, and I feel like they built to that in a way that I was like, I'm fucking here for this. The scares, scary enough, not too many that stand out, which is, I think, a bummer. There's the it's not even a kill, but like the hands coming out and grabbing the girl and pulling
the thing. Yeah.
That was awesome. The newspaper rack thing, one of the top moments in the cuckoo for me, period. I thought that was great. Anytime the nun's in the background, it's just great imagery. It's scary. It sets the tone right. And I think this movie accomplished something that it needs to for a horror film, which is, I saw it in a theater that was full of people, and it had everyone by the balls. We were there, and it was just like, there's the moments of it's quiet, it's tense. Something happens, and people laugh because they're nervous. Like, it created, like, a good vibe. And, like, there was enough funny shit, which we all love in these movies. When Goatman came out, it was just legitimately hilarious, right? But it's also kind of fucking scary. But the biggest compliment I want to give this one is I cared about the characters. And, like, there were enough named characters that I understood their relationships to each other. I liked the actors, like, throughout the entire thing.
I won't forget Frenchie this time. I liked him in this film.
Yeah. I mean, well, we liked Frenchie. Frenchie.
Fuck, shit.
Frenchie was one of the high points of the first one. And it's just how it ended up was kind of weird. And they directly followed up on this. I'm with you guys that I didn't see the trailer for this, and it did take me quite a while to be like, oh, these are the same characters. What happened? But I think they did a good job of catching you up, reminding me of it all. I had a great time watching this movie. I don't think it's something you need to rush out and watch, but I do think if you pop like into your, if you like horror movies and you go to Fandango and you see that it's a pretty full theater, I think you might enjoy it. Like, I think that, like, this is one of those kind of community experience type movies that it reminded me a lot of Conjuring 2, in that I think it's going to be one of those movies that a lot of newer kids that don't really watch these movies, this is going to form a lot of core memories for them of, like, specific moments of things happening that they're like, well, that was freaking terrifying or whatever. Like, in the way I think about the Crooked Man in Conjuring 2, where it's like, that will forever be in my mind. You know, I think that this one has enough going for it that it'll stand out. And I do think we'll remember The Nun 2 in a way we don't remember The Nun 1.
Sure.
When we're talking about Conjuring 4.
What's it called again?
Not Dead to Rights.
Last Rites. Yeah. Good names. Oh, they got so many good names.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
And just, James Elise, are you guys Catholic?
I was raised.
Catholic.
I'll tell you what, man. There's nothing like being in the theater. I was raised Catholic too, you know, and being in the theater, and like, they're gonna, like, I saw the wine on the ground, and I was like, ah, oh, they're about to turn this all into Jesus' blood. Yeah. And then to recite the prayer with them and be like, not only is this awesome, but my wife's right. This kind of feels like we're in a cult when you say it in a movie theater. But yeah, you know what I mean?
Dude, that shit was legitimately, I thought that shit was freaking awesome. But it is funny you say that, because I did not grow up that way at all. I have such little understanding of it that I really feel like somebody watching the 19th iteration of a superhero movie that they've never seen anything before of that universe. I don't know the lore of all this Jesus shit, okay? So I'm just in here and they're saying stuff that I'm supposed to know, and I'm like, I don't know who that guy is. I don't know what's up with this dude. But you know what I do know? The fucking goat's eyes are red when the sun shines through in a specific way and it points to a treasure.
Yeah,
because that is awesome. Turn it into Uncharted for no reason randomly. Let's go.
If I was writing a review for this movie, headline would read, Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those papers?
Yeah, good one.
I think in the way that Tiptoe Through the Tulips played in Insidious, like, you know, on the record player, I would have had that song come in.
Yeah,
during this for sure.
A slow dramatic version.
Teenage Creepers.
And also, the second I got my hands on those eyes, I would have just eaten.
She was really hungry for those.
Well, eyes. when they got them, I was like, "Fuck, I let it go." And then it's like they didn't know what to do with them. I'm like, "God, yeah. Open it, do something." Yeah. You know what I mean? You got these
But hey, we're gonna get to the plot of this movie. But real quick, before we do that, here is a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life. If you don't love your Shady Rays, exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off two pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's shadyrays.com/kindoffunny. This episode is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. We've had 7 months without an NFL game, but for all of you football fans out there, good thing that's over. NFL is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you a can't-miss offer for week one. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. DraftKings is hooking everyone up with game day greatness. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every single game day this September. You can check out the app to see what you get. You can download now and use code KINDAFUNNY to sign up. New customers can take home $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. That is code KINDAFUNNY only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, you can call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call telephone number 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpd.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort KS. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after insurance, eligibility, and deposit restrictions apply. I don't got anyone for a plot song, Greg. No Andy.
I think Elise usually gives me something. Elise, we don't go ahead and give me a plot song. It can just be haiku and review if you want.
Look how wait, she's do you need an original song?
An original plot song.
You can do whatever
you
want.
He just needs an intro.
I don't work if I don't.
Didn't go.
You can recite
plot.
The thing if you want. The blood of the new and everlasting covenant.
Oh,
she's on the spot. It's time for the plot.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Nun 2. We begin en français in France, 1956. I know what you're thinking. Yes, 7 years before the assassination of John F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh, God.
No, John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy Jr. died in a plane crash. My apologies. Anyways, it's 1956 and we're in France, right? And what do you got? You got a little old Catholic church over there. And what are they getting ready to do? Do some mass. So the altar boy shows up and this kid just fucking loves soccer. He thinks he's a regular Pelé, unless this is before Pelé. Then he thinks he's whoever's popular in 1956. I don't know anything about soccer. Maybe Lexi Lawless. He's over there and he's playing soccer and he checks in with the priest and the priest literally says the most basic thing, go get the wine. And he's like, oh, why don't you get the fucking one? I'm like, damn,
dude. They a lot of hats, dude.
Fucking oh, yeah. This is like, rip. I was a former altar boy. All right. This is like basic. This is pretty fucking basic what you do. Do you, kid? He goes down there in their creepy ass old basement, gets a big old jug of wine, leaves his soccer ball and comes up. They do the whole.
Can we talk about this impressive jug of wine?
Sure.
Like, why did it look like a potion from like a video game? Like, it was the most Castlevania looking thing I've ever seen. Yeah. But was that just normal?
That's how they do it in France.
Is that in the lore that I missed? I don't even freaking know.
I don't know much about how the Catholic Mass is done in France. In Glen Ellyn, Illinois, our wine was not that big. No, got when it. I went and got it, nor did I have that many steps to go get the wine. Kevin is showing us that Pelé was playing in 1956. So
could have been.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I legitimately have no fucking idea about Pele, because he was on stage at an E3 once.
He was.
So I was very much like, he clearly wasn't alive in 1956, and here he is. He's playing soccer in 1956.
That is actually
also
really impressive.
This movie feels dated. It feels like it took place 20 years before it actually did.
Oh, doesn't sure. My favorite thing, and I mean, we'll get to it, or we can do it now because we're doing it now. This boarding school, where I feel like the movie introduces it and it only shoots it from the inside, so it feels like it's way the fuck out in the middle of nowhere. And then
the streets.
Then the headmaster dies, and they start putting kids in the in they're like in a, I'm like, oh, this is a real town. They're that close to civilization. Okay, and they're sending all the kids home, and then no. They're in there and they're staying. Okay, well, the teacher and her daughter stay there. That makes no. The annoying bad girls are also still. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you are not.
I was just gonna say, this is what we, Tim, you were talking about. You feel like the editing's good, and I agree. I think the sequences are good. The issue here is there are three screenwriters, and I don't think they were allowed to see or speak to each other. I think that's some of the issues, because you see these things and you're like, this makes sense. Like the movie, if you think about the opening image, it's like wine, like the solutions are there. It like has these puzzle pieces, and someone laid that groundwork. But then there'll be some scene where it's like reiterating some information that you don't need four or five times, like just because a studio executive was like, I don't understand this, so they put in a little thing here. I think that's the things that like tick this movie down for me. There's one thing specifically that I want to get into later, but that's just something I noticed right from the get-go. It's like, oh, this, the tone of this is so right, like this feels on point, and then like it'll shift and you'll be like, wait, where are we, what's going on, why is this happening now?
And so I'm with you, it was a little confusing. Kev, I sent Assets a link, if you could pull it up, to a wiki. If you scroll down just a little bit, there's a timeline on the right of the whole cuckoo so far. Not that it's scroll up, actually no, it's sorry, it's under that whole bit. Yeah, right there to the right.
Oh, okay.
So we can kind of see that. So the Nun 1 took place in 1952, Nun 2 in 1956. So it's 4 years removed from the first of those movies. And The Conjuring 3, which was the last movie we reviewed, was the furthest in the timeline in 1981. And watching this, I was kind of confused as it was playing out, where we see the dual planes going on of the boarding school and then like the wherever the fuck the nuns are.
Yeah.
And one felt in like a different time period than the other for a while, and I thought they were gonna like play with that or something, and then it was like, oh no, this is all happening at the same time. And I don't know what it was that felt weird about it, like even seeing the girl smoking, there was something about the way that scene was shot that felt like people in costume as opposed to like kids in a, or like them being real nuns in a place sure. that's time accurate.
Sure.
So. Well, she was also like, my parents sent me here from Mississippi, and I was like, they sent you to a monastery in Europe from Mississippi because your brothers went to the military? I don't understand any of this. Why are you here?
Don't think about that. Don't think about that one. All right?
Don't overthink.
The parish, they drummed up funds to send her out to.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go be a nun anywhere, but they wanted the finest of the fine out in France or Europe or wherever the fuck they were. Anyways, they go up. They do a nice little service, it seems, for a nice little group of Catholics. They go back down, or the kid goes back down to put the wine back. And when he gets down there, the stool's been moved and his ball's on top of it. Huh, that's weird. Nobody comes down here but me. He gets the ball off. He rolls it into the dark, just terrifying little room. Moves the thing, puts the wine up. The ball rolls back in and stops. He comes back down and turns around. The ball's there. And then he kicks it back. This kid, the ball's on this kid. Kicks it back into the dark room rather than just running up the fucking stairs. I'm done. I'll come back for the ball another day. Kicks it back in there. We all wait for the ball to come flying out or Val, you know, come out like that or whatever. Instead, what happens? The wine breaks up. The glass breaks up there.
This is great. Like, totally. This is so great. The problem is 9 movies into this on top of countless horror movies in general. Like, we know how this shit goes. This reminds me
of the Crooked Man.
Exactly, right? Like, the Crooked Man in the hallway with the little toy car, all that stuff. Yeah. That type of thing. Yeah. We've seen a whole bunch of times. I liked, this is what I'm talking about with the editing of like just literally shot to shot here of like him kicking the ball, but like kind of haphazardly, and the amount of times it bounces before it goes into the dark room and just like the timing of it all, I thought did a really good job of building the suspense that when the wine thing explodes, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
You know, and I liked how they played with it all.
Kid runs upstairs, tells the old padre there's somebody else here. Padre hears the clanking and stuff, and he's just like yelling, oh, you know, this is the house of God. He'll be judging you. God's going to judge you. And then they hear, are they at Benihana? No, they're not. The holy water's boiling. Very cool. Very, very fucking cool right here. You know, and it just, it burns out. And it's like, that's fucking weird. And then you see Valak over there. just sexy ass felt Valak over there. And then what happens? Like you were saying, oh, we've seen this before. Valak's power is on another fucking level this time. She's like, priest up, crucifixion, burst into flames. Like, oh.
Didn't see that coming. Did not see that coming.
So Valak is just like fucking feeling herself right now. She can do whatever she wants. Great, cool. Burns this thing. Dude screaming. And then, we cut outside to, the flames inside or whatever. But you see just a man walking away with Valak's shadow. And then it goes to him. And I was very much like, oh,
something's happening here.
She can just shapeshift to a man. I was like, oh, that's Frenchie, of course, from the Nun One. Unless I forget that he had an upside down crucifix embedded. I don't remember any of that shit. From there,
this intro was great.
Yeah,
like I love that. It was just like, yo, that was extreme as hell. Watching this man burn to death was like not what I expected to open this movie. And I do like that it kind of set the stage of like no one is safe. Anything can happen. Like sometimes these movies can kind of be like, well, the priest dude, he's not gonna die because we're playing by these specific rules. Hell no, man.
Yeah,
we're just doing it.
Tim, none of the kids died,
and that's one of the.
One kid dies, delivery boy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
was it delivery boy or girl? I couldn't tell.
Delivery person.
Got it. Yeah, fair enough. I like that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that for you.
I'm done with some more kids.
I agree. Because again, now we're back to again like. It's a superhero horror movie, whatever thing of like, usually like The Conjuring's good for a bunch of scares, maybe some scratches on, she's burned a priest alive in the house of God. And I was like, gloves are off. And then she needs to get a pair of eyes and she just puts all her eggs into Frenchie's basket. And he's like, you got to walk to that hallway and they knock his ass out. I was like, okay. And Goatman's out there doing his thing. I'm like, can we radio to Goatman to get over there to get the eyes? Like, I feel like, and like Valak's fucking with them. In the fucking the streets of wherever they investigate France, I guess, the first time. But then also in the winery at the same time. I'm like, damn, she's everywhere all at once. Seems like whatever she wants should be pretty easy to get.
That's the thing that's weird for me. It's very unclear what her powers are and why.
The parameters,
Like, it's like she's after the eyes, which we find out later. She's after the eyes. And I go, why? Just because they glow that color in the other movies. In the other movies, they glow that color, so she needs her eyes. She's like just trying to find like Halloween contact lenses to go out or whatever. But then also, she spends her whole time in the place where it is. So it's like, does she not? She needs like a child to solve a clue. It's just very unclear.
It seemed like
why and what she's doing.
We were getting that classic like. Thanks for finding me. Finding the MacGuffin I needed. I never would have thought to look there, but you kids did it. I would have been looking through. I would have been me and Goatman would have been chilling in this place for decades looking for it. Couldn't have come up with it. But yeah, then they get the eyes. Her eyes glow yellow, and I was like, oh, okay. So that I never thought she was gonna win. She won. That's gonna be she's gonna get. No, she still hangs out there and gets beat by the wine, but she doesn't get beat, I guess, because there's more Nun movies.
You know what's really...
It's a hard thing to reconcile.
Yeah, the one thing I didn't understand was the shot of the Conjuring house. Right?
The last shot?
No.
Post-credits?
Earlier, like in the middle of the movie, there's like a... Like we see like a door open, and we just see the hallway, and the nuns in the hallway.
Ah, that was their house.
With the wallpaper.
Wasn't that implant? That was their house, right? Like it was the Warrens. It was like a reference to the Warrens hallway.
Yeah.
Right.
But like, so was that?
So Valak just exists across all space and time, but she couldn't find the eyes in her.
Just that scene just seems so like I knew what it was, but I was like, how are we here? Because like, was that wallpaper just been up since 1956? Maybe. I guess
I think that's a time thing. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Okay. Who knows?
Who knows?
I'm sure Conjuring 4. Taika Waititi will tell me what's going on. You know what I mean? What's the real title? Conjuring 4.
Last Rites.
Last Rites. And I was trying to say.
Taika Waititi?
You know what I'm trying to say. You know,
Taika Waititi?
That's the man.
Who has nothing to do with this franchise?
That's the man.
Oh, no, Valak.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, so now we jump to find the nun, not Valak, the nun, who's related to Formiga. And guess what? They were just coming back in their little nun truck, and they got stuck in the mud. And so she's like, wait a second, Wood will get us out and puts it in there. By the way, great song. The truck got stuck, if you want, by the way. Benjamin found this. We wanted a truck song. We put it on. It's about a bunch of trucks up in Canada getting stuck in the mud. Spoilers, canola seed gets them out. Anyway, she uses wood in this scenario, gets out of the jam. They get back to the old monastery or the nunnery. And when they're at the nunnery, right, as soon as they pull up, she's covered in mud, but she's happy. She's having a nice little nun life. Mother Superior comes out. Hey, we got a fucking problem up here. And she's like, ugh, it's Rue's sister again. And it's Rue's sister from Euphoria. And she won't go to confession.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking get over yourselves, nuns.
She got nothing to confess. Exactly. Make something up.
Exactly.
She's too cool for that shit.
Anyway, she's out there smoking because she's not like your other nuns. She loves to smoke the fuck. Anyway, she's from Mississippi. We already covered this. Shipped off. Her brothers are serving God, the country. She'll serve God. And you're like, just give it a shot.
Questions her belief.
Yeah, exactly.
To James's point, the setup, right? Of just like, when the time comes, you gotta believe.
Super, I appreciate too that, like, and I understand that she got shipped here, and I'm not sure how long she's been here, but legitimately she's just like one of the most basic things of like, I don't believe that they're not blessing the wine into blood. That's like one of her first, and I'm like, I get it. That's real fun conversation for everybody. And I do, you know, I don't want to be here all night, so don't ask me many follow-up questions. When I went to Catholic school, kindergarten through senior year of high school, right? That's 13 years of Catholic schooling. One of my favorite moments ever in Catholic school, sophomore, juniorish, we're in a class, a religion class or whatever, and thank you for the slow Zoom. One of the teachers says, and she's like, we're talking about whatever, and she's like, yeah, well, it's like how we all believe that when the priest blesses the wine, it becomes the blood of Jesus. This is, again, either 10 or 11 years, or I guess 11 or 12 years into Catholic schooling. Every person in that class goes, wait, what? Rewind that. What did you just say? It's like, yeah, when we bless the wine, we believe it's blood and we're drinking the blood. And we're all like, the fuck we do? It's all these kids being like, no, kids, I mean, teens being like, no, we don't. Like, it was like the whole pushback of like, no one's ever driven home that point before because that sounds batshit crazy when you say it like that. No. And then we get, of course, to Rahul Kohli being in Midnight Mass. And you're like, it's a cult. It's a cult. Fuck.
Yep.
Anyways, she doesn't want to confess. Good for you, whatever. The nunnery moves on a bit, right? But then it is the fact that we jump to the school. This is where we drop in the school.
I want to say real quick, the scene of Storm Reed talking to Farmiga there. One of the first instances of me being like, I like their chemistry. I like I like these characters. And like, to me, when I look at all of these movies, the ones that I like are the ones where I'm like, oh, I care about some of these characters. The ones I don't like are the ones I'm like, I don't fucking give a fuck about any of you. But like, that's why we like Ed and Lorraine so much, right? The ones they're in, it's like we get this like dynamic between them that we are automatically invested in. And I feel like this one did a pretty good job because this was instance number one. But continue.
We jump over to the school, and this is where we get the whole rundown there, right? There's this little girl. She's making friendship bracelets for Frenchie Maurice. Some people call me Maurice. Boop, boop. Don't, every time you see this man, don't tell me you don't think that, all right? Anyways, and so they're mean to her, and they're mean to the bracelet, but the mom works there, and they like her, but then they got a headmistress, and she's just, ooh, she ain't nice. She ain't a nice woman. We don't like her one bit. And but Maurice is there, and he's kind of possessed, right? We'll get to that later.
The amount of times
he's got he gets James a cool friendship just, bracelet.
Yeah, James just looks at Elise like, what's happening?
He loves it.
You know what I mean?
Maurice gets a T-Swift friendship bracelet out of it, though. He does.
Very nice. And so from there, we jump back to the old nunnery, right? Over there, what do we find? We find, this is where we get the story of the first one where she's bringing in potatoes or some shit, and they're telling the whole story of all these people who died, took on the demon took on the fucking, the scariest thing, a nun, look of a nun. And she's like, oh, that's not good. And Rue's sister sees her walk off. And she's like, oh, that seems odd that you wouldn't want to hear this.
This is super cool because it's exposition that, sure, they're straight up just like telling us shit, but I like that it was all the nuns hanging out, gossiping, and getting the info that way.
Peeling taters.
We see this character clearly. We're supposed to care about her more, and it reminds us, oh, it is that girl that from the last movie. She is related to Vera Farmiga in real life, potentially in a bloodline to this, which now I think is more confirmed than ever.
The eyes!
But exactly, all of it. But I also enjoyed the breaking out. Like Fala can take the form of like whatever like fucks you up the most, like whatever the thing you are most scared of or like would affect you the most. And they start talking about that. Like even if it's yourself breaking out, that's how the nun came to be. But then we see that throughout the movie, like all the seemingly random scares. It's like the head mistress or whatever having to deal with her son, or the goat coming after the bully girls because they were, you know, creating the whole thing about the goat painting thing. So it's like, there's something going on here. Was it perfectly executed? No, but I appreciated it.
So I'm just gonna toss it in here, right? The nun won. She lays down and takes a nap, and then it might have just been a big sleep or whatever. And it's more you got a visitor, and she goes downstairs, but we don't see any faces. And then we get down there, and it's all creepy. And then it's Maurice, and he says, "Help me, sister." And we're like, "Oh my god, how did she know this guy? How did she know?" Whoop whoo! And it's she knows him from the movie, but we don't get that flashback right away. Instead, she wakes up. Rue's sister wakes her up, and like, "You're having a dream. You're scared." Ah. Okay. That's fine. And then I'm going to toss it in here because I think it happens pretty much immediately. Then it kind of replicates itself where a mother superior really does come over and she's like, "Yo, you got a visitor downstairs." And she goes downstairs and it's some archduke bishop dude. And he's just fucking feasting and everybody's waiting on him a hand. Oh my God, you got to have some wine. You got to have some turkey. You got to have this stuff. And he's just sitting there and he's like, "Yo, I know you're fucking completely fucked up from, you know, having to stop a demon before, but here's some shit." And they throw out all these photos of like, there's all these people dying in a straight line and it's all coming from Romania. Seems kind of coincidental, doesn't it? You got to get back out there and hunt Valak. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to pass on this one. Why don't you get Father What's His Face?" And like, "Father What's His Face fucking died." And she's like, "What?" And I forget if it was chlamydia or cholera or whatever. But like,
it's chlamydia. It's big time yeah. Chlamydia.
Yeah. Father Burke
riddled.
And can I just say, the way I would have approached this movie, I like the dynamic with her and her sidekick nun. I thought that was really fun. But I also think it would have been really great if, and more realistic probably, if this archbishop or whatever had come to her and said, "Hey, I'm assembling a team of the best exorcists from the Vatican. You're the only person that's still alive that experienced it though, so I want you to go with them." And then you got all these eight priests or whatever that are so full of themselves and, "Oh, who's this nun? Women can't even perform exorcisms. They can't go into the Vatican. Who is she?" It's kind of like in Deadpool when he assembles the team and then they all get slaughtered immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
And then these priests go in and then it's just Valak taking them off one by one, like super quick. They're all obliterated, and then she's the last one standing. That's kind of how I would have done it.
It's just weird because his whole rationale is like, "Oh, you had like an interaction with this thing, so you got to go figure out what to think."
You performed a miracle.
You performed a miracle, and you got to do it again. And he's like, "Also, this is a big deal." And it's like, okay, but like, the only reason it was just the two of them the last time is just through it was an accident. They basically got trapped there in the middle of nowhere. They didn't realize. They just went to go check something out, and then it was bad. You would think this time he's like, "Oh, that bad thing you told us about where you did that miracle, it might be happening again. What can we do to empower you to handle this?"
We have a ton of exorcists.
Yeah, we'll just throw them. Let's get the squad together.
God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, you're so right. At least I would love to have seen that. I did love, though, them just being like, "Yo, it's coming to us. Like, we need you. You are the one. We need you to power up and get the fuck out there." And she's kind of like, "All right, you're right. Let's go.
God's calling.
Let's
go.
Fucking go.
Meow, meow, meow.
One last ride.
One last time." Assembling a very special team. Fucking Samuel Jackson shows up to do it. Why not? We'll hop back over to the old school or whatever, where this time around, you know, it's they're in class and Frenchie shows up and then they dismiss class so the teacher can get alone time with Frenchie. And he fixes a door or whatever, a cabinet door. They talk about how great her kid is or whatever. Meanwhile, that kid is getting swooped up by the bad kids. They're like, "Let's go play a fucking game. We were mean to you before. Now we're going to be nice to you. Come fucking play a game with us. We're going into the fucking cathedral, church room, whatever."
Bullies are a tough sell in movies, right? Especially boys? Kid bullies these days, where it's like we've seen it all and it's like it's so easy to feel unrealistic or like too realistic, whatever it is. I feel like this group of kids, tropey as hell, but like, there's something about it where I'm with you, Elise. I wish that she died. This girl got more than just impaled because she deserved it. But like, I liked the dynamics they had going on. Didn't like the dynamic with the main little girl and Frenchie. Like, it straddled a line for me where I was like, I am uncomfortable watching this. I do not like it. I do not like how much she wants him to get with her mom. Everything about it, I was like,
Yeah, and maybe if the mom and him had more chemistry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Susan, Chronicles of Narnia. Haven't seen her in a while. Great to see her.
I was like, she's got a distinct face, and I know I've seen her somewhere.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's the way the whole world perceived their relationship. Like, it wasn't so simple that it was just like, "Oh, this guy's nice to me and everyone else is mean." Like, even the mom would like walk up and be like, "Why are you talking to my daughter?" Like,
they're like holding hands and shit. Like, it was just freaking
very
weird.
Strange.
Yeah.
That was in 1956. More innocent time. Mm-hmm. Anyways, though, the girls lure her over to their little their church.
Chapel.
Thank you. I kept wanting to say cathedral. I'm like, that's not the right word. I'm a bad boy. If I had a ruler, that would have worked better. Yeah, you know what I mean? But I didn't have it.
Still worked, though.
Thank you. They get her upstairs where they're like, yo, stare at this stained glass thing, because when at a certain time, which just happens to be right now, at a certain time, yo, the light hits through here, and, you know, then you see the devil. And if you look away, the devil will be there. And so she does it, and the eye glows red. And I thought this was cool. I thought it was a fun thing. All the girls sneak off, obviously. You know, she eventually passes. She does the whole thing. We know Valak's up there. We see some scary Valak stuff, because she's just like, I know the shit's here, but I'm slow playing it. I'm in no hurry to get these eyes. I like to give the church a running start. So the girl runs downstairs scared, and the girls, the bad girls, they're like, ah, and they shut the door and won't let her out. And then she starts panicking, and then the fucking statue starts kind of moving, and the drape drops, and it drops, and it's Valak's face for like a split second, but then it's just the statue that falls down. And then Maurice opens the door, gets her out. The girls are all like, what are you gonna do about it? You're just a fucking groundskeeper. And he yells at him real quick. He gets a little bit of Valak in him, right? The Valak flare, as I call it. I got a lot of Valak in me. And he scares them off and turns to her, and I think no, I guess it has to be explained to him later on, right? Eventually the mom explains, of course. I'm just dropping all this stuff in here because the headmaster shows up. He's like, what's going on? Get the fuck out of here. Everybody goes away. It's explained that the headmaster's son died in that chapel during the bombing or whatever, so that's why it's like off limits and nobody goes there anymore. I'm like, okay, that's interesting, that's cool. And then, you know, from there we go back to the nun and her and Rue's sister. Oh, yeah. Right, and Nun gets on a train bound for the France, into the France, this part of France. I don't know if they're already in France. And she's like, we're going to France. And then guess who
it
shows up?
It is weird that sometimes things got like dramatic title cards, and then other times it didn't. And I was like, I could have used.
Are we going far? Are we going close? I'm not sure. Know. You know what I mean? And so we pop up here, and Rue's sister joins. Like, you're not going to do this alone. I'm coming with you. We're the nuns with an attitude. We're going out there. We're like D-Generation X in 1956. And so they are like, yeah, yeah, let's go do it. And so they go out to that part of France. And, you know, back there, we probably jump back to the school. And this is where we find out, of course, okay, no, it's like, you know, they're doing this because, you know, the old woman's son died up there in the bombing. And then I'll toss it in here, too. You know, Maurice did the zombie thing at one point where he was flirting with the mom out in the garden. He had the tomato seeds. I'm tossing this in there, too. She'd given him tomato seeds, and he was planting seeds out there for a garden. Yeah, go ahead.
Before that, we get the delivery kid.
The delivery, yeah.
Right. The first time Maurice is all weirded up. Yeah. Kids delivering stuff. Another group of French kids are being assholes. You know what I mean? Just kids are just assholes, apparently.
Seeing a pattern.
I'm watching this whole thing. I'm like, I got to figure out how to protect Benny.
You do?
And I think what I got to do is dress like this and just hide like around the block. And if I see kids, if kids fuck with him, I run up on those kids.
His dad's always dressed as Relic.
From the control room, Kevin stands up and gives the thumbs
up.
Thank
you, Kevin. Means a lot to me. Thank you. Anyways, yeah, the delivery kid gets made by the French, and they knocks on the door. Nobody, bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Nobody's there, right? Finally, the door opens, and she's like, I'll just bring it all in. Comes on in there and has a bunch of olives and shit she puts up there. And then the kids still being mean, scare. You know what I mean? Come on, kids. What the fuck's your problem? Got a job. She's contributing to society, you know? But what does she hear? She hears like some kind of really labored, maybe really it's clicker stuff. I can't fucking remember, right?
It sounded like gargly shit.
Yeah, he was gurgling and gargling. You're right. And she comes to investigate, of course, dumb. But once you see this guy's not on the ground dying, you get the fuck out of there, you know what I mean? But she calls out a couple times, nothing except boom, Valak at the end of the hallway, right? And it's all red and Valak's all scary and shit.
See, this was cool though, because at this point I didn't remember that this guy is the same guy from the last movie.
Yeah.
And all we saw of him, besides the vaguely creepy stuff, is like he's a really nice guy. They like just drive home, like he's looking out for the good kids. He might end up with the good teacher. He just seems like good, pure good. And then it cuts to this. It's like, oh fuck, he's got the evil in him.
He got the
this,
evil.
This isn't good. Well,
yeah.
It's weird though, because a couple things. This felt like a time code scare though. They're like, all right, how much until the next time something happens? All right, send in this unnamed delivery kid. They're going to get killed in an unknown location that we never see again. That is, and no one's going to find this body. It's not going to be related to anything in any meaningful way that we're aware of.
It was a little bit of a body count.
But the interesting thing, too, for me was that I was like, oh, it's interesting that you say that, because for me, I was like, this would have been a great point to reveal that he was like possessed by Valak, like, and it actually was happening, because it seemed like that it did work for you, But for me, the opening thing where the shadow comes down and then it's a silhouette walking away holding a luggage, and then it match cuts to Maurice holding the watering can the exact same way, I was like, oh, it's him. And I thought the movie was telling me that then, but it's interesting. I don't know if anyone else picked up on that. Because like for me, I was like, oh, it's so weird that they showed this to me right away, and now they're playing it again like it's a revelation further into this movie.
Well, I think it was, so I'm with you, but it's more, I didn't realize this was the guy from the other movie.
Oh yeah. I remembered that was like, yeah, I didn't remember his name was Frenchie or whatever, but I was like, oh, there's that one other guy who saved her at the end or whatever. Because then he's the guy in the footage from The Conjuring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which they still need to resolve as well.
Yes, exactly.
The third nun will.
Yeah, apparently, right? Yeah, he's still got it. He's still got... Him and Valak aren't done yet, right? Anyways, where do we leave off with what I was talking about? I don't remember.
Delivery kid
gets iced by Valak. And again, you're like, oh, shit, okay. Valak's like, just straight up killing and murdering and blooding it up.
We had the guy burning to death, the priest, and then we had this kid just getting fucking destroyed. And I was like, oh, shit, this movie's going for it in a way we're not used to. And this, I don't like this.
Hot. It's hot. It's hot. I'm hot in the nun outfit, all right? I'm
rolling up some sleeves. Great. Although, like the end of this movie, I feel like the last 30 minutes is just a wrestling match. Everyone's getting speared left and right. It's just freaking ridiculous. So you look appropriate.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The kid gets killed or whatever, great. The nuns show up in France to investigate. They go to the church. Another nun who they don't really, it's creepy because they don't show her, like she's talking off camera a lot and it's back of her head a lot, or she's out of focus. I was like, oh god, what the fuck's about to happen here? I like being off. I like that. Welcomes to the church. They do church mass every day or whatever, but no one's here. Nobody comes anymore. They think we're cursed by the devil or whatever. There's a big burn spot on the ground from the father collapsed. At this point, the nun gets a vision.
Hate the visions. I really wish if you just took out every vision in this movie and came up with
cheating.
It does. And it's cheating to, like, I think the wrong ends. Like every time it only convolutes things. I don't think it actually like explains anything.
And I think what we want is we want like Detective Batman Nun, where she's picking up context clues and piecing things together and merging threads. But we're Vin getting Diesel. Just these, yeah, we're getting visions just fed to her that kind of.
She's a really bad detective. I think that is another thing, too, because they basically split this movie in half, right? There's like Maurice at the school, and then there's her and her friend on the adventure across Europe to try and track down the nun and figure out what she's up to. But she does, it's really, really bad. She's not good at it. She goes to literally the first place, and they're like, we got nothing.
The Ring still holds the top spot for a horror movie that also has a really great mystery that Naomi Watts is going and exploring and investigating and unraveling. And I think that a lot of horror movies don't hit that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The nun has the vision. It's the boy coming in with the rosary. And so then she's warped back to life, by Rue's sister. They continue to get the little tour. Can we talk to the boy? We can't talk to the boy. Okay, I'm just going to put it here. They go to check in at their hotel. Valak's work again. There is no reservation. You know what I mean? Everybody's nightmare when they try to check into a hotel. Again, being a good American, Russo was like, let me talk to the manager.
What happened with the hotel reservation?
I think it was before computers.
Was that just a mistake or whatever?
I think it was just a mistake.
Or was that Valak's influence?
That was the scariest part of the whole movie, showing up and no reservation.
No reservation. Know, right? In a really nice hotel, by the way. Yeah. We're talking about how the church spends.
Hey, man. They know the Vatican knows she could die at any second via Valak. Yeah.
So. No moment in this movie took me out more than that because I was confused as why this was a plot point. And then it really me thinking. I was like, how did they make hotel reservations back then? Is it a phone call situation?
Yeah.
Like,
you write in? I don't know. Yeah.
But walking into a hotel to get a reservation doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. This person has never been to 1956.
They definitely called.
So, this is a way to get Rue's sister away from Nun. Here's the boys outside, goes outside, and then the boys run past her, and one of them stops, and she puts it together. That's Jacques.
Well, because they said that he likes, like...
I know that. I wasn't arguing that part.
I'm just saying, like, all she knew was, like, the kid doesn't want to talk to anyone, or at least the mom doesn't want him to talk to anybody.
You can see him maybe playing soccer at night.
He seems to like soccer a lot. And then there's, like, 15,000 kids playing soccer. And then the one kid that stops, she's like, it's that one.
Well, God works in mysterious ways. Right. And the vision did click in. I was with you of like, he stops. I'm like, how would she know? And then they gave me the vision, saw her click in on his face. Yeah. Like, okay.
Boo vision.
Part of me was wondering if any of those kids were real, though. The way it unfolded, I was like, is she having a vision now? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is she? And then also, well, no, the way it was, resolves yeah. itself.
Yeah, it was.
The way it resolved, like, because she's like, oh, they turned a corner, and she turns a corner. They're immediately gone. We do the whole newsstand thing, and then she wakes up in a hospital, and then has my favorite scene, which is she wakes up, she's like, what happened? She's like, oh, you passed out, but you're okay. And then the other girl goes, oh, I forgot to tell you. And I'm like, forgot to yeah, tell you what? What? She just woke up. I was like, she just went, and she's like, I forgot to tell you. I found the boy. Well, I didn't find him. He found me, and he gave us the next clue to our puzzle.
Dude.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you. And I was like, she just woke up. When would you have told her this?
See, and this goes back to my enjoyment of this movie. Yeah, I like laughing at these movies when there's something that is so absurd, but I'm like, fuck it, it's getting us there. This was, so many people in the theater laughed. And I was like, thank you. This is the type of shit I like. Because it is like, I'll never forget watching House of the Dead.
Great. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were bold classic, okay?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And there was a moment maybe two-thirds into that movie. One of the characters finds an old book next to a bunch of other old books on a bookshelf and pulls it out and says, this book looks old. It must be able to help us. Nothing's ever been funnier to me than that moment. Yeah. And here we go, 2023, still getting these moments.
We're back.
So we covered it all, right? I think the kids were, or we know the kids were real, I guess, because they run around the corner. We get the cool, we already talked about it, the cool magazine thing, which was like the building tension of it, of like, I'm like, we already know. And again, I'm like, we already know what's going to happen. I hadn't seen the trailer, but you know, it's going to be Valak or whatever. And I was like, oh, you're actually building it to a scary place where I see why she's scared.
So for people that don't know what we're talking about here, there's a scene where they're at like a magazine.
A newsstand. They're a newsstand.
Thank you. A newsstand. And like, there's a ton of magazines. And then it's really scary, like ambient noise that's like, you know, ooh, something scary is about to happen. She's dead on looking at it. And all the magazines start flipping their pages. And slowly it starts to reveal a mosaic of like a outline of a figure. But it's like a bunch of different figures. And the head keeps changing, like based on the pages of the magazines. And then it's turning like more and more clearly into Valak. It was awesome. And it was like one of those things, like you said, Greg, we saw what was happening, but I was still scared about it. I was still like into it, and like it drew your eyes in. So at any moment they could have jump scared you and it would have got you, but you were just like in it. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. So that all happens. She passes out. Ruth's sister finds her. Then it's okay. We wake up. I forgot to tell you, this is the thing. Well, this, I've seen this symbol before, but I can't place it. It's some, I know where it is. It's from the murdered photos of the other murdered people. And so they go and they go, okay. And they're like, all right, cool. We got two murdered people with this thing. Where can we figure out what this is all about? And she's like, I know a librarian. I know a librarian that can help us.
I got a guy.
The worst detectives in the world. They're like, let's have someone else explain this to us.
Right. And so, meanwhile, back at the school, this is where, you know, again, Maurice is doing the gurgly stuff outside the door. The headmaster finds him. Go back to your room. And he runs back to his room or whatever. And then the headmaster hears, the door is open, hears scuffling and shuffling and maybe a giggle or two. Goes on up there, finds her son, dead son, altar boy son, peeking around corners and shit, and she doesn't know what's going on with Valak. She just thinks her dead son's up there. Who wouldn't? She runs around.
Kind of weird.
What?
Well, how she's up there, and like, well, there's the point where whatever his name is, like
dead son.
But he had a name. But let's say his name's dead son. She's just like dead son, dead son, and like starts like chasing. What the fuck? Your son is dead. He's not there. Why are you talking to him? It's weird.
I mean, if you believe in, you know, the afterlife and ghosts, maybe you just think it's the ghost of your son. Your ghost.
I don't know the lore.
Anyways, though, guess
I'd be
what?
Like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll kill you again.
I'll bomb you right this time. No, but it was my first time seeing a scene like this since having a child. And I was like, yeah, I could see that. If I lost Ben and then I thought his ghost was up there, I'd want to engage with it in some way, probably.
But especially, his ghost would see you in that costume and the ghost would go, oh, shit.
Yeah. Don't bully my son.
Then his ghost starts spinning that morning star over his head, using it like a fucking ninja.
At that point is when I'm gonna fuck up Ben's ghost.
It was so good.
Kid starts good. It's got Valak's hand on his shoulder or whatever, spins the thing around, you know, beats the shit out of mom, kills mom.
Again, is there anything funnier than this type of physical comedy going on? This fucking little kid swinging this thing, beating the shit out of this woman to the point that she falls back. And there's the, we see the hook and we're like, oh, that hook's going to hit her. That hook's going to get her. And it just doesn't even fucking hook her. It just falls and like crushes her face. It was so extra.
It's weird too, though, because I feel like other movies, you normally, it's like, oh, well, the ghost can't kill, like, the ghost can't cause you harm, but it's what they show you, like, oh, it convinces you to, like, walk across a bridge, but it's actually out a window. Like, there are those things, and it feels like the scene was originally constructed to do that. Like, oh, there's my son, and then you, but then the hook hits her. But when you start it with him doing the spin around, like, Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, like, nailing this woman four or five times with this heavy thing, then she crashes into it, then the hook kills her. I was like, there's a lot going
there's
on.
So much.
There's it's very, very, very big.
So she's dead. The next morning, the teacher sees the doors open. She's like, that's odd. And the fucking woman's the kid died up there. Nobody goes up there. She goes up there. She finds the dead headmaster. They call we already talked about this a little bit. They call the authorities, who take out her body and just, of course, bungle it somehow, because it's just blood splattered up at the top of the head. You know what I mean? Like, they put the sheet over it, and then they're like, and now I'm gonna rub it in for good measure into the head or whatever. They walk it by again. This is the big reveal that this boarding school is in a town, and they are sending the kids home by the automobiles that are everywhere, which I did not know, except for some of the kids. We'll get back to that. Over at the Catholic Archive Library or whatever the fuck it is, this guy who knows everything, it's just like, oh, yeah, it's this thing, and it's that thing, and it was St. Lucie, and we already saw the St. Lucie thing. We never talked about it, but, you know, St. Lucie's photo is up in the dude's thing. You're like, that's a very specific saint, that's gross. And he's like, yeah, you know, we already knew the whole thing. They gouged out her eyes. She burned, but she wouldn't die, blah, blah, blah. And that was part of the vision, too, that we saw from the nun, too.
Well, also because, like, Irene, too, I don't remember when it happens, but Irene, too, is like, wait a minute. I had a mother, and she had eyes.
Yeah. I remember everything. And so he's like, yeah, you know, oh, this is the crest of St. Lucie or whatever, and there's a thing that she had a bunch of descendants, and they're out there, and that they're protecting the eyes, and they're doing this whole thing, but they did this, and they did that, and yada-da-da-da, no one knows where it is, except I do. Except I do have that information or whatever. It was this guy who went off here and made a monastery that became a winery that's now a boarding school. Da, 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 da.
Also very important that they tried to burn Lucy, but she didn't burn.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did say that, but no.
That's great.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You know how I do. I just run it all together.
I'm intimidated by your visage.
Don't bully my son. You won't like what happens to you, Elise.
She's the kind too. She's also the kind that would bully
your
son.
He's really hot in that habit.
He's sweating. I also like that they added the detail of like, yeah, it was a monastery that then became a winery that then became a school. And I was like, aren't like monasteries known for making wine? Like the little girls, even at the beginning, were like, man, the monks must have gotten so drunk while they. I was like, you didn't need. Someone didn't read those early pages when they wrote this.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, we need to figure out why there's wine there. It's like, no, someone already handled it. We already know. Akilah Cooper, the first draft, already figured it out.
And so, now the nuns are on their way as fast. How far away? It's like an hour car ride. Don't worry. You got all the time in the world. Okay, great. Thanks. They run away. They get in a car. They drive off to the...
Oh, can I just say something real quick? Both of them are sitting in the back of the car, and the driver, who we do not see, seems like he is more concerned about... this Valak stopping Valak than anyone else in the whole movie.
There is a sense of determination and urgency to this car scene that I can't even fathom them coming up with an excuse for why it made sense. He's drifting through this shit. It is so funny.
They never show him. Like, it's like almost like a second unit thought that one of those nuns would be driving, but then they film the scene and they're both in the back seat. I'm like, what did they say to this guy to tell him we need to get to this school as quickly as possible?
Lives are on the line.
Understood. Yeah. Understood.
So back at the school now, that's no longer a school, but it still has some kids in it, but it doesn't, whatever. Frenchie and the mom and the daughter are having a nice little dinner, and Frenchie's making some Portuguese thing or whatever, and they're having a nice little date night dinner thing. Everything's going fine. This is going to be great. And I forget what exactly triggers it, but Frenchie collapses and the wine glass spins around and it doesn't fall. You're like, oh, that's going to be bad. You know
what I mean? The sound design of this was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's Valak taking over him. Does he use a knife on him, or does he grab a knife or whatever? Because there's a thing that happens here where shit goes sideways And then they all take off and the nuns show up. And then they're like, Frenchie, get away from him! Then you're Valak. Valak's in you. He's like, no, that kid does the human transformation shit and becomes zombie Frenchie or whatever to chase them down. So
this is when Venom pops out of the painting, right? Remember, isn't there a point?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there a point where they're looking up and the painting becomes the nun and you think it's going to do the nun thing, but then Venom shoots out of it?
Yeah.
Why do they keep doing it? They really need to stop. Like, anytime the nun goes like, it's like, this looks stupid. It's mm-hmm. not fun to me.
You're insulting my religion. All right. Yeah, right now. You think this is a Halloween costume to me, Tim? Anyways. Frenchie becomes the bad guy. Frenchie's wander around. Frenchie starts like bodying him. He throws Nun. He at one point gets Nun down and is just like ga 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 ga. I'm like, she is, her head is fractured.
Insane. Yeah. Level of violence, the level of physical hand to hand combat we have going
unseen
on
so far in the cuckoo.
Yeah, for sure.
Rue's sister jumps on Frenchie's back. He throws her down. You know, everybody's stomping around or whatever. Finally, as he keeps marching towards the chapel or whatever, Rue's sister grabs a stick or a rock or whatever the hell it is and clunks him on the head.
Are you wearing pants under that?
No, it's too hot for that. I'm just in my MeUndies. MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Tim, nuns, am I lying?
That's MeUndies. Those are MeUndies.
Do you want me to turn on the AC?
The way you flap up.
No.
Turn the heat up. Leave them hot.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine. Don't worry. These are the questions the audience is asking, too. So then he's knocked out, and they put him in this, like, Harry Houdini fucking outfit of, like, a million chains and ropes and a burlap sack. And like, all right, we'll just leave him here. Like, we'll hold him. We better move fast. So then they get up there, like, all right, we're looking for these fucking eyes. This is a relic. This is a super relic. This is, like, a Jesus super relic we need. Mm-hmm. Where the fuck could it be? This is a big place or whatever. It would need to be in the chapel, probably. So we go to the chapel. I forget how they knew to go to the chapel. And then when they're up there, the little girl's eyes are drawn to old Goaty up there, Goatsy, up in the stained glass window. And they're like, what are you saying? Like, oh, the eye, and it'll do this thing. I'm like, wait, that sounds like an Indiana Jones clue. Rue's sister, you go out there with a flashlight.
They knew to go to the chapel because that's where Frenchie was heading before they knocked him out. And they're like, what's behind there in this chapel?
And so Rue's sister goes out there and she's shining lights through the thing. She finally, yeah, it's perfect. You know, a little bit too long on the up, down, step back. Okay, we get it. We get it. She does it. Perfect beam of light laser there. It's here on this rock. Great. They pop up.
So not only did this take way too long of them trying to get it right, which I get why they did it, because earlier in the movie they set up, it has to be just right. It's like, you could have just not done that. You could just, when light shines through, and we would have been like, okay, we get so much of it. And then we see the light beam, the red light coming through, and she has her hand up with the light, and she like follows it down. You could just hand and go, oh.
This was more visually compelling. I also appreciated that, they move the rock, and she's like, we got it. And to Rue's sister, I was like, you're celebrating a bit early on this. And sure, shit, they got to dig and claw. And meanwhile, outside, Frenchie the zombie, he's out of everything. And he's like, I'm fucking pissed.
Here's what I love. I love how much they tied him with such a comical amount of, like, they could have just been like, do we have anything? Not really. And then tied him with nothing.
Yeah.
But he was literally wrapped. He was wrapped up like Pee Wee Herman's bicycle. It was just thousands of chains around his whole body, upper and lower. And then to just the next time you see it, it's just lying on the ground. I'm like, he probably just like slid it off.
Yeah.
Like, what do they do?
So I've been giving a lot of shout outs to the crowd that I saw this with. This is the one moment I was very embarrassed and upset for everyone. When we get the shot of him out of the chains and it's just the chains on the floor, the amount of gasps that I heard, I was like, y'all need...
They thought this was really wrapped up. They thought this one was done, you know what I mean? This is donezo. So while all this is happening, little girl looks back up, and guess what? The goat's disappeared. You know what I mean? She took her eye off the goat, which was going to be a problem or whatever, as we knew.
I liked it. The goat being off of the stained glass painting, pretty sick.
Very
and
cool.
And then turning into Goat Man, even cooler.
Yeah, and so that's MVP. The thing where it's like we cut to the Mean Girls room and they hear her clomping around up there. And I think something's up there. And she's like, you go investigate. To the girl, she woke up. I thought that was funny. Really, again, Mean Girls moment here, right? Of Regina George ordering people around. She gets to the doorway, gets to the banister, hears the clomping, and then... Sister Act 2 walks in and they're like, who the fuck are you? And she's like, oh, I'm friends with the fucking teacher, whatever. What's going on? She's like, I think there's something upstairs. And we get the thing up there and I was like, yep, there's the goat head. And then I was like, oh, it's a goat man? Mm-hmm. Fucking awesome. And the devil himself is there. The devil is there, ladies and gentlemen, just galloping down the stairwell. But this nun's faster. She gets the kid. She gets in the door. They close the door. Crisis averted, right? Not a fucking chance. They're throwing shit around. They're throwing kids in the glass. They're breaking beds. They're throwing. I'm like, fuck yeah, goat man. Fuck it up. You know what I mean? This is cool.
He's so resourceful. Like, well, I can't open the door, so I got to go through the door.
It's also so unclear what any of these powers are. It drives me crazy because they're like, all right, we'll just lock the goat man out. And it goes, okay, that doesn't matter because the door doesn't matter because you can just get tossed around magically. But then later they like literally hide from the goat man like Solid Snake. Yes. Like all they need to be is out of his field of view. And I've lost him. They're gone.
His character's actually called.
And that was the thing about it, where it was very, I'm right there with you, James, of like, and why it caught me off guard, and I kind of appreciated it, but not so much upon reflection, right? It's just the idea of like, every time I feel like we get a monster, like, or not a monster, but a Valak in the Conjuring or whatever, right? It is, they run at you, and you're like, oh, and then they disappear, and you're like, oh, man, you know what I mean? So like, you know, the goat man stabbing a girl, you know what I mean? Like, all right, that's fine. Burning this priest. I'm like, shit, all right, I guess there's some new stakes, even though, yes, they make no sense of, Goatman's locked out, but stuff's still happening inside the room. So what the fuck's the Goatman's problem? Anyway, stuff.
Yeah,
we'll continue our Goatman thread. Okay, the kids.
I just want to say IMDb has a goat as demon goat. So I guess we're all.
I'm sticking with Goatman.
Yeah, Goatman's better. Goatman's better. They work their way through the rooms and stuff. They do the Solid Snake business where it goes. They're like, I got the bright idea. Like, we'll go one room over still with a thing that'll make a lot of noise. So they take off the vent, open up the vent. Put their heads through the vent. There's the headmistress, and they come back out, and she's like, "She's in there." And I was like, "That's cool." And then she reaches through and grabs them.
Figures of the different characters.
Yeah.
Realized, pretty cool.
And the cockroaches that they'd put through earlier in the movie are so coming good out of her mouth and stuff. And then, and again, it was that thing where they had the push and pull. I'm like, "Well, she's clearly going to come back, you know, with great force of it, as if it just evaporated." Nope. This is a zombie situation we got on our hands now, and she's coming through. I was like, "Damn, I didn't fucking see that coming." Again, doesn't make much sense, but cool. Good on you. I guess this.
And you never see her again.
Well, they lock her out of another room. It's fine. Yes, cause all that's happening because, of course, Frenchie gets back on the scene, a.k.a. Valak. And, they've dug out the eyes. They've got the eyes. But, yeah, before they can do anything with the eyes, Valak knocks them down, and the eyes are loose. And then the little girl gets the eyes. This is where Nun's head just gets smashed to smithereens in real life, but not here. Little girl gets the eyes. She runs off. To her hidey hole spot or whatever, right? And then Frenchie chases and then doesn't find her, but then does find her. And then at the last...
If I was that girl, I understand a lot of duress, a lot of things going on. Maybe don't go to the hiding spot that, like, an hour ago you showed this man.
Yeah, to the one-way path.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Not a good idea. That's a great point. She does, though. Frenchie catches her, but she activates the eyes in a moment of distress. Not to their full potential, I assume, but enough to knock Frenchie back. But then that kind of causes the whole fucking place to start tumbling down.
What do the eyes do? What are these eyes?
Oh, they're a super relic.
Destroy the entire belfry. Like, but then that's the only thing that we can. At some point, the eyes get held up in front of someone, and they go like, ah. But other times,
it powers you up. Super saiyan.
What are the eyes,
dude? From this moment on, this film, it just turns straight up Act 3 of a Marvel movie.
Yeah,
and
I
could not believe my eyes of what was going on here. We get this tower fight scene, which didn't expect from one of these movies at all.
Yeah.
Explosions abound, smoke coming down, and we get the nun Batman style running into the freaking smoke.
Dude, I thought that too. BVS, man, right? Like, it looked like Batman Superman when Bruce runs into it.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Like,
I was like, she would have so much debris in her eyes, she wouldn't be able to see what's going on. What?
But then also,
not
like,
through the power of Jesus Christ.
It doesn't mean anything. It's also so weird because, and I want to emphasize that I was like enjoying it in the moment, but I think it's also like, it drives me crazy when you try and piece it. It's like, that's clearly supposed to be her mom because like they barely know each other. And she's going, Sophie. Like, these are clearly lines that were meant for someone else. Oh. So there's supposed to be some sort of interaction. They had no relationship whatsoever. They were like, oh, you're a little girl. What? A goat thing? Okay. And she's like, Sophie. Meanwhile, her mom is just MIA with a completely different group of kids.
Totally.
Like, it's just all these weird things.
When they come out and she's like, where's my daughter? I was like, why were you fucking with her? I don't know.
Yeah. But all of it's happening while they're doing a really well done, like, practical her hanging on to a thing. I was like, holy shit, like, they built a set and they're like breaking a set, and this is a girl on a hydraulic lift holding stuff. It looks great. And so it's just, I'm just like getting whipped back and forth, being like, why does she care? This is awesome. Why does the, what's going on? This is cool.
And it ends with this bell falling down, and it hits everything. There are four different shots of this bell falling and breaking other things, and then it cuts to our nice little tomato field we've been seeing, and it's just fucking
dust everywhere and shit. Yeah,
like every set we saw in this movie was affected by that bell. Like, it was impressive.
Just bring it all down. So we do bring it all down, and we're down there, right? And it's like, all right, cool, the horror's been contained. Just kidding. Frenchie's there. Frenchie runs over. There's, you know, a little bit of a brouhaha battle. It looks, oh, that's what happened, right? They used the thing. She had it, and like, it looked like she zapped him and he fell down, and it looked like Frenchie was dead, and it was very sad.
Oh,
and
so he cried the black.
Yeah, there's no way to bring him. Please, sister. And then they get out, they like mourn him for a second, but then he grabs it because he's Valak, and he just holds it above their heads. And then he powers up.
Yeah, he like a tall guy playing basketball.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, this was weird because it, you know, the rules of this fucking movie, who the hell knows? But like, he straight up Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet's it, and they're all around him trying to get it. But like, it weirdly looked like they were kind of moving in slow-mo and unwilling to tippy toe, even unwilling to jump. They're just kind of standing there, kind of.
And we don't know what this is or what it does. So when it starts burning, I was like, oh, it's backfiring on him. Like,
it reminded me a lot of like when I'll be at home and I see Gia just like standing and like trying to reach into a
but trying to get you to go do it.
Mainly trying to get me to do it. Like, she's not actually trying. I'm just like, all right, cool, I'm gonna get up and get it for you. But it's like, this just seems weird for this big fight scene we're about to get.
But then right afterwards, fully powered up nun shows up, and I was like, this is sick, with like the light behind and like the face is dark, and it's like Super Saiyan nun. I was like this is sick. And then she's throwing spikes out, like, it feels like a boss in like in a video game or something.
Unbelievable, like legitimately unfucking believable. I enjoyed the hell out of this entire sequence, like them all surrounded by the spikes. There's wine everywhere. I love just this set piece of the wine, because every time that they were in it, it just looked like blood was flying everywhere. But it's like, no, it's red wine. That's cool. And it's like, they set up earlier in the movie, and for people familiar with the lore, this wine represents the blood of Jesus Christ.
Of a new and everlasting covenant.
It could. It could.
And it
if it gets
did.
The right blessing.
And they give the blessing because we're already there, right? And
Storm Reed believes,
and
baby.
And just boom, all the things explode.
Is this before or after he's lit her on fire?
After. This is after. This is after.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're right. Because
cool
that was also fucking cool. Because she can't burn, but she's burning, baby. Loved it.
Just like the Jenny with the eyes. Same. Lucy. Anyways, though, that had happened. Yeah, they did the Venom tendril, like, prison thing for a second that they contained him in. But Valak's all super powered up. And then, yeah, they bless the wine. Again, awesome. Drink this in all. So all sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me. And that's what I would ring the bell back in the day. Ding, ding, ding. But instead, here everything explodes and it's just Wine City. And Valak's like, oh no. And she starts burning away. She's like, I'm melting. Yeah. And she melts. And Valak's defeated. And Frenchie's alive. And we all go outside and it's like, oh man, we did it. We survived. The mom and daughter get reunited. You know, there's this moment of the nuns being like, we fucking did it. Yada, yada, yada. Then we get a little post credit scene, but like the aftermath, right? Time has passed. Frenchie's returning to the school for the first time since he's been possessed and everything went sideways, right? And he gets there, and what's he find? His tomatoes are big. Someone's been taking care of his tomatoes, and behind him is the little girl with the watering can and her mom. She drops the watering can. She runs over and hugs Frenchie. He apologizes. They both seem to kind of forgive him. It's just a weird set of circumstances. It's not really his fault.
They're a family now.
Yeah, he's also like got like a soft limp, but it seems like it's because it's like unclear what... happened. He's like,
he twisted his ankle at the hospital. That wasn't related to the Valak shit at all. He just twisted his ankle at the hospital. Is that it for the real movie? Do we get anything else with the nun and her partner? No, that's just it for them, right?
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
and then we
it.
There, yeah. One weird moment that we missed that I thought was strange was when the friend nun is running around with all the little girls, and then when the goat man is banging on the door, the friend nun goes, what is that? And the little girl goes, the devil.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I was like, should that have been flipped? The little girl should have said, what is that? And then the nun should have said, the devil. And you're like, oh, shit, she believes now. Like, she gets it, right?
See, I thought it was, I think that they did it the way they did because it's supposed to bring out the thing they're most, like, they believe would scare them the most. And the little girls were the one that were, like, telling the story about the goat thing.
Yeah, but she should have been like, it's the goat from the window.
you just wanted her to have a bigger believer moment.
She has it. She has like the full affirmation of things when she's like touching the wine and she has to pray too, even though she's like, this is stupid. But I was like, oh, this could have, you could have like stepped into it. Like she's seeing things that she's never seen before. Like her passing out on the street is one thing, but this seeing this thing, what is this thing? There can only be one explanation, is that some of this stuff that I think is bullshit is actually kind of real. Mm. And that I was like, it's weird that they swapped those two lines that this girl is explaining to her. I don't know. I see both perspectives, but I thought it was a missed opportunity.
Then we get a little bit of credits and then our post credits.
The credits were sick though.
Yeah.
Credits were getting, all the
Conjuring usually is pretty good.
Yeah, we get the real life versions or whatever. This was cool because we start seeing the family tree and like the bloodline shit. And it's like, this is cool as fuck because they're directly leading it to Vera Farmiga. Mm-hmm. And then we get the post credit scene,
which is Ed and Lorraine, the Warren's house. We get a phone call, Mr. Warren, it's for you. And it's some priest saying we got a problem, which I assume is from the first one where we ran into Valak. I don't remember.
It's literally a throw. That was like, this is a throwaway.
Oh, I read here on Wikipedia that it was deleted from Conjuring 3.
Yeah, this is just a deleted cutscene from The Conjuring 3. Will this lead to anything? Who the fuck knows? Okay. I think this was just them. Like, and also, the content of it is the most vague. It could be anything, whatever, just to connect it.
My expectation is that the Nun 3, should it happen, will be the actual story of the Warrens depossessing Frenchie, right?
Yeah, you think maybe, so, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's. I appreciate that they closed it up, right? Like, as a movie, they're like, all right, and they defeated the nun, and Frenchie's better now. Boom, credits, right? But it's also weird because you're dealing with... Although, maybe not,
though, because we do see the nun kind of like... She questions, is he good?
She has a skeptical look on her face. Yeah, she knows.
But it's just weird because, like, we already know that you're in the cinematic universe where you're constantly doing this stuff, and you've already shown us that, no, Frenchie is not okay, and the nun is not defeated. So, I don't know, there's weird things where it's like, if you're going to do that anyway, you might as well show us what about what we just saw doesn't resolve this situation and why, so that way we're amped for the next thing, unless you have no fucking idea what the next thing is, so you can't.
I think,
right?
Ding ding ding, that's probably the problem.
That definitely adds up. I mean, from what I'm seeing here for the next Conjuring, the only thing that they have so far is that Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga will return. But we don't have anything else, but maybe that is the movie that does it, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah,
who knows? Time travel could...
And that is The Nun 2. And yes, time travel may be happening.
So now that we're all done with that, Greg, what do you got for me here?
It's a podcast within a podcast we call Ragu Cuckoo.
Ragu.
Cuckoo. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys. Talk Cuckoo, the Conjuring Universe here on In Review. We have several segments here, of course, before we get to the actual Ragu listing. We have a segment called Best Scare. This is unranked, but it's where we decide on, hey, from each one of these movies, which do we like the most? Our current list looks like this. We have The Fucking Clap from Conjuring, Girl to Crazy Woman in the Doorway from Annabelle, The Nun to the Hallway to the Painting in Conjuring 2, The Sheet Ghost Bunk Beds in Annabelle Creation, The Nun's Hand in Casket and The Silver Spoon, The Car in La Llorona. It's the scary movie, Darling? Daddy, the TV, the ferryman. Oh, okay. It's the scariest fuck movie, which is Annabelle Comes Home, and we're tossing in Darling Daddy, the TV, and the ferryman. Basically, we're saying the entire movie was scary. Oh, there, okay. We like that.
Yeah.
And then the exorcism in The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. What is our pick for best scare inside of The Nun 2? Nun 2,
for
please.
Between the magazine and the vent with the deceased nun popping out. I think magazine. I really liked it.
I'm gonna toss it. I think magazine, because magazine is like tense, like because it doesn't really have like a thing that seals it at the end. It just shows you, and I kind of appreciated that. So definitely magazine. But we didn't talk about it. But when Sophie's in the stairwell after she sees the weird one. Conjuring house, and then the
she's in the burn or whatever
in the stairwell, and she goes like that, and then just as a door opens, and then it's like vaguely left. And
that was good.
I was like, that was pretty creepy, but I think magazine would be my number.
I agree with the magazine. I hadn't seen the trailer, like I said, and my thought was like it was so telegraphed, but then it went on long enough that I came back around on it, which I liked.
I think that magazine is clearly the one we put down for the list. Like, it is the most iconic one of this movie. But the one that scared me the most was the hands popping out of the vent.
Okay.
Like, that actually got
the me. Magazine has it, and we're putting it in there. There you go.
Love that.
You know, we do these shows over many years, so sometimes the notes don't make as much sense as you want them to. We have one segment here called Best Scare Hair. And there's only one thing listed for the 8 movies we've already seen, and it says, the actors played... - Raphael. We'll move on from that segment unless anyone knows what the fuck we were trying to say. All right, then we move on to the real meat of the sandwich here. All right, I was gonna say the Annabelle sandwich, the nun sandwich, where we will rank the best beastie. We will be ranking Valak and Frenchie
and
Goatman
from The Nun 2. Currently, your list looks like this. Number one on the best beastie list is Valak from The Conjuring 2. Number two is Annabelle in Annabelle Comes Home. Number three is The Witchy Woman, The Devil Made Me Do It. Number four is Annabelle's Demon in Annabelle Creation. Number four is Bathsheba in Conjuring. Number six is Annabelle's Demon in Annabelle. Number seven is The Nun in The Nun. And then eight is La Llorona in La Llorona.
Y'all, I'm putting Goatman number three.
So you're saying Goatman, Frenchie, and Valak go beneath Annabelle and Annabelle Comes Home and above The Witchy Woman and The Devil Made Me Do It.
Yes, I think so. I legitimately enjoyed Goatman a lot. And I like the kills in this one were awesome. And I loved the brutality of it. I loved the flaming thing, killing the kid. They could have took some things a little further, but I liked the commitment to Valak in this one.
I can't even picture the witchy woman.
Yeah, I mean,
well, she's just the one. She was like in the cult or whatever. She's like in the basement. She was like doing stuff or whatever. She's just regular lady, but she did scary things.
Might be with Tim.
I agree with it too. Yeah,
I think I agree. I think especially if we get to count them as a group.
Sure.
Like, yeah, I feel like Valak was almost scarier in this than she was.
Sinister Three, I call them.
Different franchise. I feel like the nun was scarier in this than she was in The Nun, right?
Yes. Oh,
and then you got the added benefit of the Goatman. That's just bonus points, 100%. Extra credit. So
I agree. Yeah. There you go. Number three becomes Valak, Frenchie, and the Goatman in Nun 2.
Now it's time to rank the cuckoo. Currently, Kevin, if you could please bring them up. At number one, we have Conjuring. Number two, Annabelle Creation. Number three, Conjuring 2. Number four, Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It. Number five, Annabelle Comes Home. Number six, The Nun. Number seven, The Curse of La Llorona. And number eight, Annabelle.
For me,
said this earlier. Go for it,
Lisa. Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
I said it earlier. I would put this at number four. It is in the top. Really? Me at least, both at number four.
Honestly, that's where I would go too. Because for me, it's always the vote of like what you're not all about. And The Devil Made Me Do It is another one. I'm like, what happened? I read the synopsis. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know.
James, what about you?
I did like.
I'm fine with the consensus. I think just for the record keeping sake,
thank you.
I would probably put this at five under Devil Made Me Do It. But I'm okay.
The Warrens a lot.
So. And that's the thing is they have. Yeah. Like, I think then that was our discussion last time is we were like not happy with the movie, but at least.
But we liked the nuns here. The nuns and The Nun 2 we did enjoy as a brand new dynamic duo.
That is my thing is that like the nun, the Farmiga nun in this one, I liked her in the nun one. I really liked her in this one. And I didn't I disliked the nun one actively. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't like Devil Made Me Do It that much, like as much as you guys did. I agree with you though that the Warrens are the heart and soul of this franchise.
Yeah.
But this new nun is kind of winning me over. She's like a solid
I think you said it at the beginning that there's definitely there's like a clear gap between what we think are the good ones and then the rest. I think this one sits in the middle. Like it's like for me it's like there's 50% that I really really liked and the 50% that left me scratching my head, but I still think that's a better proportion than some of the rest of those on that list.
Number four.
So I'm record keeping, let the record show.
Thank you, James.
Number five vote for me, but number four consensus
noted.
So there you go. It is number four, The Nun 2. Pretty fun time at the theater, Greg.
The theater!
Let us know in the comments below what you thought of this one. Remember, like I said, next week we're continuing Saw in Review. So catch up on Saw 1 and 2 and our in reviews in all the normal places. We're doing Saw 3 on starting next week. James and Elise, where can people find you?
You can find us on Twitter at James Willems and Elise Willems. Though we're kind of not there that much anymore.
More Instagram for me.
Instagram, sure. James Willems Feet and Elise Willems. But you can also see our stuff basically every single day at youtube.com/funhouse. Mm-hmm.
And if you like more spooky stuff and spooky adjacent, you can listen to 30 Morbid Minutes, a podcast that I make with my best bud, Jessica Vasami, where we cover topics of a morbid, macabre, dark, and downright grisly nature.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There we go. Well, until next time. Have a marvelous day.
Whoa.